opportunity to the local legislator to say a few words and to also welcome people. When he gets here, we will do that. We may have other committee members who will arrive later because they are coming from some distance. And I would first of all like to take the opportunity to have committee members introduce themselves and indicate what part of the state they represent. So we'll start with our senior member, Representative Yaros.
Thank you. I'm Mike Yaros from Duluth. I'm glad to be here.
Yep. David Dill, I represent northeastern Minnesota from International Falls, basically down to Duluth and everything east, and we have a few dairy operations even up there.
Representative Greg Davids, I chair the Agriculture and Rural Development Committee, and I represent District 31B, which is in the southeast corner, borders Iowa and Wisconsin.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Representative Jim Knobloch from the St. Cloud area. I represent District 15A, which is Rockville, St. Augusta, St. Cloud, Waite Park. And as a fifth-generation Stearns County resident whose family's lived in the county almost 150 years, it's always nice to come out to another part of the county.
I'm Paul Coles. I represent central and western Carver County and a portion of northern Scott County in the Minnesota House.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris DeLaForest. I represent District 49A, which is central Anoka County, the cities of Andover and Ham Lake. But this is familiar territory for me. My mom's side of the family, the Summers, are all from the Kimball area. So very familiar with this area, as well as being a proud graduate of St. John's as well. So this is very familiar territory, and I'm glad to be here again this afternoon.
I'm Representative Phil Krinke. I represent part of northern Ramsey County and part of southern Anoka County.
I'm Representative Lyle Coonan from Clara City, and I represent Chippewa County, Renville County, and eastern Yellow Medicine County. And I have a particular interest in Representative Erdahl's good bill, having been a dairy farmer myself for 25 years.
Without further ado, it's a little strange. Normally, when we're in this process, we're on the same level, so it's a little difficult being up here on the stage. But hopefully, that won't impede us too much. So, Representative Erdahl,
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. First of all, a little quick geography lesson. Technically, we're in Meeker County, my district. If you cross the street to the north.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought we were
across the street. Then you're in Stearns County.
Okay. I'm sorry. My geography is a little misplaced. I'm a block off.
I'd like to thank Representative Krinke and members of the Tax Committee for coming out here into Meeker and Stearns counties and dealing with this bill, which I feel is quite important and quite necessary for the dairy farmers of Minnesota. I'd like to thank Principal Bruce Keene and Superintendent Larry Peterson of Eden Valley Watkins Schools for their hospitality in making this available to us today. And welcome everyone to Eden Valley Watkins, the home of the 2A state championship football team. And also many...
Do you have a football players? Raise your hands over here.
Raise your hands, football players. And also known for excellence in the classroom as well here. Now, Minnesota dairy is at a crossroads. This industry, which supports up to 50,000 jobs directly or indirectly, is in trouble. Our share of national milk production has dropped from 7% in 1980 to less than 5% today. We now have about 5,400 dairy farms and 450,000 cows. We've lost about 400,000 cows since 1970. The investment tax credit for dairy will not solve all the problems, but it will be a step in the right direction. This legislation would create a non-refundable credit against the individual income tax or corporate franchise tax equal to 10% of the first 500,000 of qualifying dairy investments. The dairy farmer has a six-year window in which to make modernizing improvements to his dairy. He may receive credits on his tax liability for the next 15 years or until 10% of his investment has been granted. It is estimated that 2,200 farms, or about 40% of dairy farmers, will take advantage of this opportunity in the first year. Wisconsin is currently in the second year of a similar program, and our fiscal note is based upon their results. This program will be used in Minnesota, and it will have a positive impact. It will help our farmers to modernize and compete with other states. Cost, yes, you have the fiscal note, $4.7 million in the first year, 2007. Can we afford it? Can we afford not to? The net reduction in state and local tax revenue from the Minnesota dairy industry over the last five-year period has been more than $37 million. A modest 1% growth would have added more than $15 million in state and local tax revenue. The further cost of doing nothing: if we do not reverse declining trends by 2010, we'll lose another 100,000 cows and 2,000 dairies, nearly $14,000 per cow in economic activity annually for the state. One final point. Each cow in a study from the 1990s accounted for $604 in state and local taxes. In Wisconsin, a more recent study showed cows accounting for $512. Yes, Mr. Chairman, even Minnesota cows are overtaxed. We need to get this done to help a struggling industry and allow us to compete with our neighbors in other states. Now, it does not end the problem, but it could stop the bleeding and get the industry moving ahead again. There are other proposed remedies, and we may explore them in the future, but this proposal has wide support among farm groups and stakeholders. It has a track record in Wisconsin, and it will help right Minnesota dairy. I'd like to thank the dairy farmers who are here today. You work hard. You do a tremendous job. The state of Minnesota must recognize how important you are to our economy, our environment, and the health of our people. Thank you. Representative Hosh is not here yet. Otherwise, I'd have him speak at this time. But I'd like to bring up from Revenue Department the man who has worked on this fiscal note, Jack Manson.
Hello, I'm Jack Manson with the Minnesota Department of Revenue, and I think Representative Erdahl did a nice job of explaining the bill and how the credit works. He also mentioned the revenue impacts, and you should have this in your packet, the revenue analysis from the department.
If we could just procedurally, we could move to, we don't have a quorum, so we can't actually adopt the delete all amendments. So I guess Jack will just work but members, we are working on the A06 1096 delete all amendment to House File 719. Just so you are clear on what the discussion is, Representative Erdahl, maybe you could at some time explain some of the differences between the delete all or some of the changes you made. But Manson, let's proceed forward with your explanation of the revenue note.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fiscal analyst or analysis then is based on the bill as to be amended. And what we've used as our basis for determining the impacts was the Wisconsin experience. They passed a similar credit that began in tax year 2004, and now they have those returns in and could analyze how the credit worked there so that we could use that as a comparison. And in 2004, the total credit in Wisconsin was over $12 million, and on 6,464 returns, the credit was claimed. And the average credit was $1,890 per return, so that's about a $19,000 investment per farm. And they also informed us that their participation rate was, as Representative Erdahl had mentioned, about 40% of the farms took advantage of this credit. So we would assume we'd have a similar experience here in Minnesota as well. And then on that basis, we assume that the first year fiscal year cost for Minnesota would be about 38.5% of the Wisconsin experience, and we just base that on the number of dairy cows in Minnesota versus the cows in Wisconsin. And then we also assumed, as we do on most of our revenue estimates, is 10% growth. So we assumed, again, there would be a 10% annual growth in price increases and increased participation as this program progresses. And then we feel that there would be about 2,200 farms that would take advantage of this credit in the tax year 2006. One thing I could note is the effective date of the proposal is years beginning after December 31st, 2005. So even if this isn't passed until May of this year, any expenditures from January through December would qualify for this credit. I could answer, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer those.
Any questions for members?
Sure.
Representative Coles.
Could you, are there any existing tax incentives for dairy operations today? Is this on top of, or what is this on top of? Is it, or is this all we got? I mean, I'm very supportive of what Representative Erdahl is doing. I want to understand the lay of the land.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Coles, this is the only one I think that is specific to income taxes, but there is a lot of sales tax exemptions for farmers in egg production, so it's similar to industrial production exemptions for their equipment and for supplies used in producing animals or generating agricultural products. So a lot of their inputs are exempt. Not barns necessarily or fencing, but things that are actually used in the production.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Manson. Could you talk about the changes in the revenue note with the delete everything amendment? I mean, as I look at the House File 719 as it was introduced, it looks like what Representative Erdahl has done, and he's capped it at the $500,000 level. I suspect that reduced the delete everything amendment reduces the cost to the state, but $4.5 million or wherever we're at, given the grand scheme of the state general fund, $30 billion is a fairly insignificant amount of money. I'm wondering, maybe Representative Erdahl, if you could speak a little bit to why you dropped the higher expenditures from the bill, and if we could comment a little bit on the cost savings in doing that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Coles, basically the changes made, one is, we as you say, we capped it at $500,000. We eliminated the sliding scale, which went up to $1 million. And you would get less of a benefit as you went up. The maximum was $75,000 of $1 million, where it's $50,000 of $500,000. And so that was one change. And basically the reason is that it does cost more money. About $500,000 per year more.
One last question. I mean, the only concern I have about a proposal like this is, I know I have dairy operations in my district. Yes, there are some still in the seven-county metro area. I actually have quite a few in Western Carver County, and I have a few of my constituents who have actually upgraded their facilities, added new milking parlors, etc., over the last 2-3 years. And anytime you're going to put in a new program like this, you're going to have to draw a line somewhere. I understand that. But did you give any thought, Representative Erdahl, to some sort of a look back so that people who have made investments over the last 24, 36 months could capture some of this tax break? Because I like what you're doing. I support what you're doing. I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can expand the reach of it, yet still keep it fiscally responsible.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Coles, that would be something that I would like to. I wouldn't be opposed to doing that, but we did have a date
that we wanted to work off of, that as of that date everything qualifies and before it doesn't, or, you know, where do we draw the line? How many years back do we go? If fiscally and practically that could be worked out, you know, we could look at that. But as of this time, we have determined that we needed a date basically from which to proceed. Right?
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, Representative Coles, I think generally too, when you general rule is that you take the credit for the same year that you incur the expenses. So, not necessarily it has to be that way, but generally that's kind of the rule. So, so it would be from, you know, this entire calendar year would qualify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Chairman, while I'm talking about a couple other changes from the original bill to the delete all, we had a cap before, and you know, because of the financial constraints, we had that in there. It was cumbersome because we had to then have a mechanism by which, if you reach the cap level and have more credits than are available, than the money is available, what do you do? So we had a system by which we would try to apportion those credits, and again, that was a cumbersome situation. And a couple of the items that qualified as expenditures were removed, one of them being on-farm processing and other pastures. So a couple of those items were removed, and we made these other changes.
I see that Representative Hosh has joined us. You want to come up and join us up here on the stage, and or you can either come up here, or you can, you know, be at the table. Either way, whatever you prefer.
You get. You can talk. It's over here.
I've already made a geographical error. Representative Erdahl has pointed out that technically we're his legislative district. We go a block north, and we're in your legislative district. So, welcome. Glad to be in Meeker County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that was part of the confusion, is that the city is divided by two counties. I'm the upper half. I won't say better half, though.
You've got the church.
Yeah, I've got the church.
We won't mention what you have.
First, mainly I just want to testify on the importance of this bill, and I want to congratulate and thank Representative Erdahl for taking the lead on this. In Stearns County, dairy farming is extremely important. Actually, Stearns County is the ninth largest county for dairy cows in the nation. No, the 16th, I'm sorry. And Stearns County has more dairy cows than any county in Wisconsin. Our jobs depend on it. It's important to our economy. We employ more people through our dairy farming than the companies of 3M or Medtronic or Northwest, and that was even before the bankruptcy. But at the same time, it's getting very competitive, and it's hard for the family farmer. We don't have significantly large farms for the most part. Most of them are family farms between 50 and 100 cows. And the trends that we've seen in the last years have been troubling. Dairy farming has dropped 72% in Minnesota in the last 20 years. And when our jobs and our rural economy depend on that, we need some help. And I think the Dairy Investment Tax Credit is something in which our farmers can use to invest in their farms, make sure that they meet the mandates that are passed on by federal and state government. We need to make sure that you know, we can have as many farmers on grade A milk as possible, but there's also a cost and an upkeep to that. So this is an important tool. And at the state level, we can take the lead on this, just as at the federal level, they've had the milk program. And that's important to our family farmers, too. So mainly I just want to talk about the importance. And you know, in Stearns County, we're simple people. We drink from our cows, we eat from ourselves, we shoot the waterfall, and we hopefully can preserve the olives. So it's, you know, we don't need a whole lot of staples, but we need to make sure that we save what we have now. So I appreciate your time, Mr. Chair.
Cows, salad, waterfall, olives.
And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I can't guarantee an answer, but hopefully I can be a good voice for the people of Stearns County.
Great to have you with us. I know you mentioned to me earlier that you have some other obligations today, legislative business in other parts of the state. So, again, we thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule to be here with us today. We have further questions. Representative De La Forest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the author, Representative Erdahl. Representative Erdahl, I come from a guy who represents a district where we only have cows at the meat market. In looking at the $50,000 credit, you talked a little bit about Wisconsin, and help me understand sort of the lay of the land with respect to the domestic playing field and how important this might be. For example, I understand that in the Midwest here, it seems like a lot of our dairy farmers are running uphill in terms of dairy compacts and pricing, and that the playing field isn't very level. So how do you hope your bill will level the playing field? For example, dairy farms in the Northeast, for example, do they get these kind of tax credits, or is this something that is just sort of unique to the Midwest?
Mr. Chairman, Representative De La Forest, to answer the question directly, I believe that it's unique to the Midwest in terms of this particular type of credit, and perhaps if Mr. Manson or others know differently of the other states, they could correct me on that. But historically, Minnesota and this area have been a mecca for dairy. We have the water, we have the climate, we have the support of the communities that have made dairy very, very important to this state. But we face a decline with unstable prices and with cost increases and with meeting the demand for low-cost food and top-quality products and enhanced food safety and environmental concerns and all of these things coming together. And basically, California, Idaho, some of these other western states have, through basically mass, huge dairy farms, been able to take much of the or some of the market from us. For example, Idaho has moved. We were number five in milk production nationally. Now we're number six. We've been passed by Idaho. And our farmers here, because of some of the challenges that we face, need another tool to help us to be more competitive with these other states.
Representative De La Forest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up, Representative Erdahl, to clarify something in my mind, you had mentioned before in talking about your rationale behind the $50,000 amount and the $500,000 amount. Obviously, we don't have the luxury of dealing in a fantasy world, but if we had the money available, how high would you go? Is $50,000 on a scale of 1 to 10 sort of a 5? What would be a 10? Because as you know, we have sort of a volatile budget situation right now, but it is not out of the realm of possibility that there may be more dollars available, but there may be fewer. So I'm trying to get an idea for the dairy farmers, what they are investing typically, and will this $50,000 be sort of a little bit of help, or will it be a great deal of help? Where does it fall in that spectrum?
Well, two questions there, and one of them I think maybe will be better answered for you by the various producers that come forward. They can answer directly as to how it would affect their operations and what they would plan on doing. In terms of how much money, I liked my original bill that had the sliding scale and got them, $75,000. Certainly, raising the percentage, but this seemed like a good compromise in the face of our budget situation and what we have now. If we get this working, and I think that it will work, we can look in the future to see what tweaking or whatever needs to be done with the bill.
We're here to hear from farmers and members of the public. So, Representative Erdahl, if we could, I know you've asked a number of people to be here to testify this afternoon, so if we could proceed hearing from the people that you've lined up to present some further information to the committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I will bring up the people by name, and when you come up, please sign in, and then also introduce yourself again and give your title. Greg Jans.
Chairman and committee members. My name is Greg Jans. I'm Vice Chairman of Minnesota Milk Producers, which is an organization that has a voluntary membership, and we represent probably about 35 to 40% of the dairy farmers in Minnesota are members, and that membership ranges in all types and sizes of dairy operations and all styles of operations. I dairy farm southwest of here, about 22 miles, with my son. We come from the great town of Grove City. Mr. Erdahl lives on one side of the track, and I live on the other side of the track, is all I like to explain it. So, we definitely support the dairy investment tax credit. It benefits all dairy farmers in Minnesota. It has the opportunity, I should say, to benefit every farmer in Minnesota. They can use it if they so desire. It doesn't matter if you're a small producer or a large producer, what style of operation you have, from grazing to a large freestyle barn. It's a bill kind of unique in the sense that it'll help anybody no matter what situation. And if you've been in the dairy industry, there's about 5,400 of us left in the state, and we probably all have 5,400 different type of operations when it comes right down to it, with management style and everything else. So this bill definitely helps all of us. I'd like to say Minnesota Milk had a lot to do with the getting this started. Even when Wisconsin was looking at doing it, visiting with those people over there, what we were seeing, and we had this discussion quite often, was a lot of people have made very good money over the years in the dairy industry, you know, and I don't know if you say got rich or anything like that, but they've had to reinvest back into something, and they were looking at where do I reinvest. And what we were seeing is a lot of them weren't willing to reinvest back into their dairy operations. They were buying land or going into other businesses. And what was happening was the facilities were getting run down or wouldn't be improved or weren't growing in size to be adequate to provide a family living to them. And so when the next generation came along, that didn't have a desire to go back into that. And we've kind of lost a lot of that next generation of dairy farmers for that reason. So we thought that, you know, if we could provide an incentive for some of those people to reinvest back into the dairy operation, this would be a perfect opportunity for it. And I think that could help, either stay the decline we've had, or actually I would like to see it increase the size of the dairy in Minnesota. And the other big benefit it'll be is to help people starting up in a new operation. Somebody had asked, you know, what this $50,000 benefit would be. And, you know, everybody's got a different rule of thumb. But if you were going to start a new operation from scratch, the minimum investment you would have is probably $5,000 a cow. But realistic, it would be about $7,000 a cow. Total investment on everything, cow, equipment, everything, if you're starting from a scratch. In reality, most people have something already going, so they're not starting with that total dollar. But that would give you an idea of what size you could go to. So if you're starting from scratch and going to go to a 100-cow dairy operation, you'd probably have spent the $500,000 right there to get to 100 cows. So that kind of gives you an idea. I think a lot of this would be used for modernization. People making their life a little easier on their dairy, all the way from putting a parlor in to making feeding easier or anything like that. I think a lot of it will be used that way, along with new facilities. And another big expense that we have in Minnesota is meeting our environmental standards that we've got set here. I think our standards are high in the state, and they're good, but it's costly to the dairy farmers to come up online with that. If you're not aware, by year 2010, we have to be in compliance with all these things, and it's costing dairy farmers quite a bit of money to get to there. This could kind of, you know, offset some of those costs, even though it's not directly related to that. And plus, dairy farmers going through their permitting processes now, it's getting to be challenging and costly at times for that part of it. And if they could see a benefit coming from this too, it might keep their attitude high. We're seeing dairy farmers that start the process, and between the economic costs of permitting and the emotional stress, a lot of them will pull back and decide it's not worth it. Well, maybe with this little bit of a caveat, you know, would help them continue on with that. So I think there's a lot of benefits to dairy farmers in this, but the real big benefit is to the state of Minnesota. I know you guys got to watch out for the whole part of it, but I think it's even more of a benefit to the state economy if we invest this money back to the dairy farmers. Dr. Bruce Jones from the University of Wisconsin-Madison put a paper together, researched it. Every dollar of income that a farmer makes, the non-ag sector makes a dollar and a half. So, you know, it just sort of keeps snowballing in that effect. So you're not only helping farmers with this, you're helping the non-ag sector also. And kind of my, you know, a little fear, you know, over the years, we've seen the dairy decline. You've seen those numbers over the years. If we didn't have any dairy in the state today, and we were looking at attracting an industry of this size to this state, we would, do all kinds of tax incentives locally, state, and everything else to get an industry to this size to come to this state. So I think this 10% tax credit just to try to stimulate this thing is kind of a drop in the bucket, because this industry is spread throughout the whole state. It's not just in one region, one town. It's spread from one end to the other. So I definitely think that this is, you know, it's going to benefit everybody in the state, not just the dairy farmers alone. And I think another thing that really, you know, for me as a dairy farmer, is I see that there's some interest at the state level in their industry again. You know, for a while there, you know, I don't think that we felt that the state really cared if we were here or not, but over the last few years we've seen some real, you know, with this bill and a couple other ones that have come down the line, and the dairy, you know, the two task force and dairy that were formed last year and the year before, I think we've got some interest back in the dairy industry, and we see how valuable it is to the state, and I just think we're right on that turning edge of turning this back around the way it should go. So I want to thank you guys for coming out to rural Minnesota for this hearing instead of us having to come down there. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Representative Davids, you had our ag chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and a couple thoughts and comments here. First of all, the gentleman's comments on environmental compliance, there are some, I think you're right on there, that that's going to cost some money, and there's going to be some things you're going to have to look at there. And I think Representative Erdahl's bill, items on page 1, items 10, 11, and 12, will help with some of those issues with the manure pumping, storage facilities, digesters, equipment used to produce energy. I would also kind of ask a generic question as we go forward with this. I see Mr. LaFave from the Minnesota Milk Producers, Tom Peterson Farmers Union, and other groups represented here, Mr. Clavin. I would ask you down the road here if the items 1 through 12 are the correct items. Do we need more? Do we need fewer? Are there some things we should be adding there? I'm not sure. I'd like to have that kind of as an open opportunity to adjust those areas if need be. Want to just get this down procedurally here. This passed the Ag Committee in 05, 100%, I believe, didn't it, Representative Erdahl?
Yes.
And so you don't need to come back and see us. You're in Tax Committee now, then in the Tax Bill, the Ways and Means to the Floor type of things. Is that what we're looking at? Mr. Chairman?
Representative Erdahl, you want to explain the unfortunate circumstance that this legislation had last year?
Well, of course, where we were last year, yet it passed the Ag Committees, went to the Tax Committee, and was included in both the Senate and the House Tax Committees. Then they go to Conference Committee. And at that point, I don't know what happened, but it didn't make it. It was one of the last items that was discarded right at the end of the special session. And, I've heard so-and-so was at fault and so-and-so, somebody else was at fault. In the end, it just comes down to the fact that it was not included in the final report, and we need to get it done.
We're going to do better this year, right, Representative Erdahl?
No,
Mr. Chairman and Representative Erdahl, you, I know you did a lot of work on this last year. It was disappointing you didn't come out at the end, but but that's what 2006 is for. So procedurally, I just want to offer, if you do need the Ag Committee for anything, just let us know and we'll work with that. More importantly, though, my gas tank is on empty. Are there any E85 pumps in this town or Kimball or somewhere?
I think you have to go to Litchfield.
Okay. Thank you.
or Painesville.
I just want to pause here and welcome Representative Lincheski. Representative Lincheski, you want to just give people an idea of what area of state you represent?
Well, thank you for having me on. I apologize I'm late. I represent Bloomington. It's in the southwest metro of the Twin Cities. And I do want to just tell you that Representative Hosh and I just came from the local government committee that is in Stacy, Minnesota right now, who's hearing testimony on annexation. Thankfully, Representative Hosh got me here with cell phones through numerous cities and me following him on all the back roads to get us here. So I really appreciate that. I would have been even later. And then we have another committee hearing after this in Sartell. So unfortunately, these committee hearings have all fallen on the same day in parts of rural Minnesota, but it's really a pleasure to be here, and I thank you for having us up.
Representative Knobloch.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question had been somewhat along the line of Representative David's, and that is, you know, particularly on the environmental side, I know that there are a lot of additional costs that farmers, dairy farmers, have been asked to incur lately, and I was wondering if there was other equipment or other things that you felt should be included on this list. I mean, you know, spraying equipment might be one thing that comes to mind, but does anything else come to mind that you think should be included in this list?
You know, I think the list looks pretty good. It's some of the, maybe the terminology I noticed that the top, you know, it says in the paragraph on the top, it says buildings and equipment and stuff, and then it jumps down, and then the first one is free stalls, and maybe that should entail all animal housing type facilities, you know. You know, as nitpicky on the words is maybe what I would look at, but I think the general message in it, you know, covers pretty much all the type of equipments that are, you know, I think we got to look at things that help modernize the dairy, enhance production and that type of stuff, and be careful that, you know, it doesn't get used to things that it's not intended to be used to. So, but I'm sure there's some things on that list that I don't see that could be on there, but it covers, I would guess that list came off from probably the Wisconsin bill, I'm not sure, or if it was off the list from last year, but I think it covers pretty much everything.
Mr. Chairman, if I may add, we did have a discussion on, you know, number one, freestall barns. Did that preclude other types of barns? And it was felt that the four dairy animal housing in, you know, line 110 did cover that. So that's our intent anyway. And you know, I agree that, you know, there should be the possibility of adding, or if the need is there, to even subtract items from this list. But it should still be somewhat flexible.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd just say that a person can nitpick the list, but we don't need to do that today, but I'd encourage you to pick those nits, because once it gets into law, the interpretations that are sometimes brought forward can be very, very important. And so we do want to make sure that we really have it exactly the way we think it should be.
Okay, let's move on then. Thank you very much, Mr. Jans, for being here. Appreciate your testimony.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd like Tom Peterson of the Minnesota Farmers Union to come up, please.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Erdahl. I'll be very brief and just echo a lot of what Mr. Jan said. And my name is Tom Peterson. I'm Director of Government Relations of the Minnesota Farmers Union. And our organization has worked with just about every organization in the state in developing this bill, and that we do feel it's very important for our dairy producers in this area. We're in Meeker County here, right? But we're close to Stearns. And Stearns County, you know, is almost a seventh, the last I looked, of all the dairy farms in Minnesota are in Stearns County, so it's a lot of dairy farms, obviously, in this area. A couple other things I'd say is it's kind of interesting to get some of the numbers back. I don't have them, but hopefully somebody else has, or I came in a little late in looking at Wisconsin. And I live in Pine County, which is right on the border of Wisconsin, and I see some of my friends that work in the dairy industry. We have a dairy supply company, and they've talked about the business that they've done in Wisconsin since they've increased. So we've gotten some of that tax value back, even in Minnesota, from what Wisconsin's done. So I just encourage you to think about that. And also, some of the producers looking on the border, and Representative David's down in that area, when you're looking at the friendliness and who's promoting dairy, and there's a lot of times younger producers are looking where they're going to settle and move to, so I encourage that. And the last thing I just wanted to point out, too, it's a small part of it, but I also serve as chair of the State Organic Advisory Task Force. And, even in my own organization, organic farmers are maybe 2% of the entire total, and there's only about 100 organic farmers statewide. But the interesting thing is that's a growing sector, too, and I wanted to point that out. That's going up. And, in fact, the main organic supplier here in the state had to cancel their contract with Walmart because they couldn't supply enough organic milk. So a lot of farmers transitioning to organic where that market is, this would really help also. So thank you.
Just have one. This is an advertisement. Representative Blaine, I spoke with him yesterday. Representative Blaine is the only active dairy farmer we have in the Minnesota legislature, and he's looking for a herdsman. He's been looking for a herdsman for about 3 to 4 months, and if he's going to fulfill his duties down at the Minnesota legislature starting March 1st, he needs someone to help him out. So please, if you know anyone, have him call Representative Blaine. He needs help. So just wanted to get that ad in here. Maybe we could amend the legislation here to help, subsidies for herdsmen, so Representative Blaine can come down and join us next month.
Maybe Representative Hosh could go out. Okay, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Schlangen.
Members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Steve Schlangen. I'm a dairy farmer, and I'm from Central Stearns County up around Albany. I'm a director on the AMPI Board of Directors, a member of the Minnesota Association of Co-ops Council, and a member of the MAC Co-op Dairy Committee. I am here today representing the Minnesota Association of Co-ops. A dairy investment tax credit is a top priority for MAC Dairy Committee. Our work on this effort dates back to 2003 when MAC proposed a dairy investment tax credit for Minnesota following a similar proposal in Wisconsin, later signed into law. The dairy investment tax proposal has broad support from the agricultural community and is also a priority of the Minnesota Milk Producers Association and other members of the Minnesota Dairy Leaders Roundtable. Loss of dairy cows not only affects the dairy industry, but affects the demand for corn and soybeans in our state. So these trends affect not only dairy, but all of agriculture and our rural infrastructure. At a time when we are spearheading the production of biodiesel and ethanol, it'd be perfect to grow the dairy industry because their byproduct is a perfect fit for our dairy farms. The need for this economic development provision is clear. Any measure we can take to improve investment in our dairy herds, regardless of size, can have a noticeable ripple effect in economies of rural communities. Based on the size of this tax incentive program, it would be well suited for family-sized dairies to update or expand their operations. These are just the type of dairies that have been the backbone of rural communities in the past and would continue to stimulate our rural economies for years to come. And it's important to note that investment tax credit is only paid to producers who have a net tax liability. So the state would first see substantial taxable income generated before tax credits are actually paid to producers. In addition to helping our dairy industry, MAC also believes it's important to work toward maintaining a level playing field between Minnesota and the surrounding states, particularly Wisconsin, as it pertains to dairy. Wisconsin's dairy investment tax credit became law in 2004. Unless a similar proposal is passed here, members of the MAC committee are concerned that such actions put Minnesota's dairy industry at a competitive disadvantage. On behalf of the members of MAC, I would urge Minnesota lawmakers to support an investment tax credit proposal as a measure which would help ensure survival and growth for the future of our dairy industry and the well-being of our rural communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of the witness? If not, again, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate
thank
the
you
comments.
Thanks, Steve.
Now, Mr. Chairman, next, an area dairy producer, Steve Herdrickini. It's easy for you to say.
Say your name again.
Welcome. If you just, again, give us your name and
yes,
any group or organization you may represent.
My name is Steve Herdering. I own and operate a dairy farm near Freeport in Stearns County. My wife, Pam, and my children, Matt, age 16, Kristen, age 14, and Luke, who is 9. I grew up on a family farm near St. Rosa, just a little ways from where I am now. In the mid-80s, I worked in a gravel pit and at a fertilizer plant to pay for college. I graduated from North Dakota State University in February of 88 with a bachelor's degree in agribusiness. Pam and I immediately purchased the farm she grew up on and began to fill the empty barn with cows. We started with 50 cows in 88 and built the herd to 70 by 2002. 3.5 years ago, we built a freestyle barn for 120 cows, installed a manure storage facility, and purchased heifers to fill the barn. We did this to improve the comfort of our cows, and we have seen the results. Cows are giving more quality milk today than ever before. Production increased from 21,000 pounds per cow to 24,000 in the first year. Now that we have made the improvements for the cows, we figure it is a good time to make some investments that would be good for our family. That investment is a new milking center. Our current system consists of switching the cows into our 87-year-old barn. The barn holds 52 cows at one time, so we have to switch at least 3 times. Bring the cows in, chase them out, bring the next group in. And we're milking with a pipeline milker, bending down for each cow, getting underneath them, kind of. The system is very inefficient and physically hard on us, so we want to update. In addition, while we are fortunate to be getting more milk, more quality milk from our cows, which is allowing us to catch up in part with dairy producers in other parts of the world, it is not enough. A new milking center will bring our labor costs per cow in line with competition. The system we are looking at is a double eight parallel parlor with automatic takeoffs. In a parlor, you stand up to milk rather than bending down. Making these investments will allow us to sustain our business for years to come. It will also make us more competitive with dairy producers in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. But I have to say that we will have to scrap the whole idea if the state does not pass a dairy investment tax credit. And you may ask why. The answer is simple. Margins in the dairy business are razor thin. Making an investment in a milking facility is costly for a small business like mine. For example, a new milking parlor alone, complete with the latest technology, can cost up to $300,000 or more for my size dairy. A capital expenditure of this size is next to impossible to cash flow even knowing that the investment will greatly improve our labor efficiencies. That improvement alone is not enough to justify an investment that large. A tax credit of 10% is just enough to put the investment of the size I explained over the top and help the cash flow. I am not alone. Many of my neighbors are in a similar situation. You can talk with many dairy producers and they will give you a similar scenario. They might be at a different stage, but reinvestment in their housing or milking facilities is essential to their sustainability. With escalating costs for materials, the longer we wait, the less likely we will have a dairy industry to support rural Minnesota. Naturally, as a dairy producer, our specialty is the cows. Our focus is to do whatever we can to make a good living with the cows. Caring for our cows and milking them in a system that is comfortable, safe, and efficient is a necessity. Passage of the Dairy Investment Tax Credit is crucial to me personally and many other dairy producers in achieving our goals as small business owners. But passage of this piece of legislation is not just about the financial incentives it will provide. It is also about the message Minnesota will be sending to dairy farmers across the state. It is a message that Minnesota cares about dairy producers and the dairy industry. For too many years, we have had people put us down, saying we are polluters, that we don't care about the environment. As a dairy farmer, I'm sick and tired of these people, and I know I'm not alone. This legislation is saying to me and other dairy producers that the state cares and that they want us to stay and want us to reinvest in Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for this opportunity. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Any questions from members? Again, appreciate you taking time to be here today. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hurring, and I'd like to call up Mr. Yeager. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairman and committee, for allowing us to testify this afternoon. My name is Brian Yeager. I am the manager of Lake Region Cooperative Oil in Maple Lake, Minnesota, and former dairy farmer. I am here representing Minnesota Association of Co-ops, and I also serve as their chairman of their Ag Supply Committee. Minnesota Association of Co-ops has made the Dairy Investment Tax Credit a top legislative priority for the past 2 years. We believe it is vital to the future of the dairy industry and the health of our rural economics to provide this measure as an incentive for the producers to update their facilities. The dairy industry today does not operate on a state or regional basis. Our producers in Minnesota have the ability to compete with some of the top producers anywhere in industry, but we fall behind when we look at our facilities found on our operations. Many of our dairy barns have gone decades without the benefit of improvements. Our producers are not able to adapt to some of the technologies because of the outdated facilities. This means that Minnesota dairy industry comes up short and our entire agriculture economy suffers because of this result. While I'm talking significantly about the modernization of the dairy industry and its operations, problems of the outdated facilities and the ability to modernize technology cuts much deeper. With the continued decline of the cow numbers, there is less demand for corn, soybeans, and other feedstuffs. This affects not only growers, but cooperatives like Lake Region Co-op and other agribusinesses who are involved in storing, drying, and processing of grains and forage products, as well as the sale of the fuel to the farm operations. It affects our veterinarians and animal health professionals. Our dairy processors and manufacturers are not able to operate efficiently with the dwindling of milk supply. Our ag lenders, our implement dealers, and our ag services folks are all depending on this very large part of the health of our dairy industry. As you look around our rural communities, we see farm supplies and some of these industries being farther and farther apart, and the dairy operators having to drive farther distance to maintain their operations. A dairy investment tax credit of 10% for up to $500,000 of improvements can make a significant impact on the health of Minnesota dairy operations. It could provide the necessary incentive to our dairy producers to update their facilities and serve to growth and strengthen our industry overall. The ripple effect of our rural communities would be very considerable. But our dairy industry is not only a contributor to the health of our rural communities. It is a major indicator of overall health of the state's economics. By investing in our dairy future, we can help build a stronger Minnesota for the generations ahead. Research indicates that the typical dairy herd in the upper Midwest with 50 to 100 cows averages 248,000 and will recycle back into their community $203,000 of business and services. Likewise, a farmer with 100 to 200 cows generates $495,000 in annual sales and expects to contribute back into the community $410,000 of that. These are real dollars lending strength into our economics and our local communities. If we do not build these communities and keep them going, what generates our, enthusiasizes our younger generation to stay in these communities? The dairy farmers we drive by every day affect quality and our daily life in the Minnesota in many ways. They safeguard our natural resources, create jobs, and build stronger communities. The dairy industry has helped shape our state's history and landscape. Dairy can continue to fuel the state's future, all of our futures, for decades to come. But we need to provide necessary tools and incentives to help our dairy producers reach their full potential. In most situations when dairy operations face these challenges, upgrades, financially they fall short of the existing, and alternatively, they leave the industry. For example, in 1994, the Minnesota had approximately 12,500 herds. By 2004, that number dropped to 6,100. And the official census for 2005, we lost over 600 herds. One of the big questions ahead of us, what can we do to stop or slow down this trend? And I really believe this tax incentive will help. These statistics I put before you, I found off the U.S. Department of Agriculture under statistics, and you click on Minnesota and then statistics. For these reasons, Minnesota Association of Cooperatives asks to support the dairy investment tax. Thank you, Chairman and Committee.
Thank you for being here. Any questions from members?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess to the witness or Representative Erdahl, you know, we've got a lot of empty barns out there. I want to fill some of them up. I think this helps do that. Do you have any numbers or any statistics on if this goes in? What has it done to Wisconsin? Have they stopped the bleeding, if you will? Have they been filling up some barns or building new facilities?
I can't specifically, Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, can't specifically say how many new barns are being built or how many barns are being filled, but there is growth happening. I mean, they're talking about more people coming into dairy once again. It has in Wisconsin started to turn the trend around once again. It's being used. You know, 40% of the dairy farmers in Wisconsin are making use of this now, and they're doing it because they expect they're going to be able to grow the industry again. And once that happens, I'm sure that there will be barns starting to fill up again.
Any other questions? If not, thank you very much for taking time out to be here today. Appreciate your testimony.
Doug Dorn, please.
Welcome, Mr. Dorn. If you'd just, again, give us your name And any organization you represent for the record, please.
Sure. Chairman Creakey, members of the Tax Committee, Representative Verdal, thank you for the opportunity to testify in House File 719 and share the views of the Minnesota Farm Credit System. My name is Douglas Dorn. I'm the Vice President of Financial Services for Farm Credit Services of Minnesota Valley. But before I begin, I would like to give you a brief background on myself. I grew up on a dairy farm in Lincoln County, attended South Dakota State University, and have a bachelor's in dairy production and ag education, and a master's in dairy farm management. Prior to working for Farm Credit Services in Minnesota Valley, I did financial management consulting for dairy producers for another national cooperative. In my capacity as Vice President of Financial Services and Dairy Specialist for Farm Credit Services of Minnesota Valley, I am testifying on behalf of all the Farm Credit Associations serving the economic interests of Minnesota. Minnesota is served by four retail Farm Credit Associations, or cooperatives. They are AgStar, Ag Country, Grand Forks, and Minnesota Valley. Along with AgriBank in St. Paul, we serve nearly 24,000 farmers and ranchers through 33 branch offices located statewide. At the close of 2005, the associations had over $3 billion in loans outstanding to Minnesota farmers and ranchers. The associations also offer a wide variety of financial services and products to assist producers with financial and risk management. The associations serving Minnesota provide rural employment opportunities for more than 500 employees statewide. As farmer-owned cooperatives, the associations serving Minnesota are affiliated with the National Farm Credit System with over $100 billion in assets and a rich 90-year legacy of serving rural Minnesota, or rural America. We have shared our 2006 legislative positions, which highlight the importance of agriculture, particularly animal agriculture, relative to our state's economic well-being and in support of vibrant rural Minnesota communities. Our focus for today's hearing is dairy. We see a building economic storm on the horizon that not only harms rural Minnesota, but the state as a whole. We are all well aware of the current trends in Minnesota, significant annual losses of both dairy farms and cow numbers. Unless we begin to reverse this trend, we are at great risk of losing all of the businesses and industries that support and or are supported by Minnesota dairy producers. We believe that improving the competitive environment in Minnesota will encourage investments and provide a necessary incentive for dairy modernization. We encourage support of House File 719 because we believe that this type of incentive will encourage the type of investment necessary. Long-term economic benefits to the state and an immediate economic stimulus for rural Minnesota. As an association which operates in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, we have seen the direct benefits this type of incentive has had on Wisconsin's dairy industry and rural communities. It has been reported that the Wisconsin Dairy Investment Tax Credit generated over $120 million in new investment in the first year it was offered, which I believe speaks to Representative Davis's earlier question. Cow numbers have declined by 27%, or 173,000 cows, in the past decade. Further, it is predicted that Minnesota will lose another 100,000 cows by 2010, as Representative Erdahl mentioned in his earlier address. Assuming that each cow generates $14,000 in annual economic activity, that represents a significant annual economic loss of $1.4 billion and a loss in potential tax revenue for Minnesota. If we focus on the investment aspect of House File 719, consider the following. Every dollar generated for a tax credit or expended for a tax credit generates $100 in direct economic activity. It also is commonly accepted that each dollar of revenue generated on a dairy farm turns itself seven times in the local economy. If this holds true, every dollar of tax credit would result in $700 in economic activity. We estimate that capital investment for modern dairy facilities totals approximately $4,500 per cow, or up to $7,000 for everything, including the cows, as Greg Jans referenced earlier. To offset annual projected cow losses of 20,000 head per year, we need to support significant investments just to sustain our current production capacity. The outcome seems obvious. Do nothing and continue to lose significant dairy revenue potential, or support economic investment through the dairy investment tax credit and grow potential revenue opportunities which support rural Minnesota communities. As preliminary findings from dairy producers that have their taxes prepared by Farm Credit Services indicate that a tax appetite currently exists for this type of investment tax credit, our research on nearly 950 tax returns for 2002, 2003, and 2004, where milk production was a primary source of income, indicates that 83% of those producers reported a tax liability. In conclusion, we are truly at a crossroads in Minnesota. We can allow the current trends to continue and eventually lose the infrastructure necessary to support this important component of our state's economy, or we can support changes to our competitive environment, which encourages animal agriculture, particularly dairy. This investment tax incentive is a big step towards restoring Minnesota as a leading dairy state and allowing all of us to enjoy the benefits that this provides. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Any questions for the witness? Any questions? If not, thank you very much for the information. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Dorn. Next, Charlie Storms.
Welcome, Mr. Storms. Again, just give us a name for the record, and if you represent any organizations, you might mention those as well.
All right. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Charlie Storms. I am the owner of Storms Welding and Manufacturing Incorporated in Cologne, Minnesota. That would be in Paul Coles' area. We are in a seven-county area, and dairy does affect our business. I am a member of the DPEP Executive Board. That's a Dairy Profitability Enhancement Program out of Carver County. I grew up on a dairy farm in Cologne, Minnesota, and because of the love for welding and farming, the business I am in fit me great. I employ 11 full-time employees and 3 part-time. My business consists of equipment repair and manufacturing of dairy barn equipment. The equipment we manufacture are milking parlors, adjustable parlor floors, holding area fencing, crowd gates, free stalls, and barn gates and post systems. With the crowd gates, we have shipped equipment around the world. We have shipped to Canada, Germany, Poland, and Japan. We have had extreme activity in Wisconsin since this last year because of their tax credit. This year, about 20% of our dairy business will come from Wisconsin and about 40% in Minnesota. The balance from the rest of the world. So as you can see, a large part of my livelihood and that of my employees relies on the thriving dairy industry. I know that dairy farming is not an easy business. In the 23 years I've been in business, I've seen many good dairy men leave the industry for a number of reasons. Some reasons are related to tough environmental regulations. Some are because there is no one to take over the business. And some may be a way of life issues. And one other main reason is money. Just like the other manufacturing industries, margins continue to get tighter in the dairy. As a result, dairy producers need to reinvest in order to sustain their business. One thing I've observed recently as a person in the industry is an increased desire by dairy producers to reinvest in their business to overcome these issues I have just mentioned. Many dairy farmers are milking cows in systems that have outlived their usefulness years ago. While these facilities have served them well in the past, there are nonetheless old, tired-out facilities. They are not comfortable for the cows and are inefficient for the farmer's use. I have talked with hundreds of dairy farmers looking at options. Very few end up making new investments in their options, and their answer is because of the return on investment, projections after investments remains tight. Without question, a 10% tax credit will have significant impact on the dairy industry and manufacturing in rural Minnesota.
It will cause more dairy producers to reevaluate their situation, and many will cause to choose to make changes in their operations. We have dozens of bids out for farmers, and without a 10% tax credit to turn the corner for them, we will not have those jobs. Instead of me doing a good part on my work outside of the state of Minnesota and in the rest of the world, I will be able to focus more on my attention to the dairy producers within the state. And I am only one example of the increased business as a result of the dairy producers' investment. Everyone wins with this tax credit for dairy farmers, the dairy farmer, the equipment, the supplier, the processor, our small towns, and the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you. I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Storm. Any questions? Appreciate your making the trip up here as well.
All right. Thank you. One question or one thought to the question before about Wisconsin. Is it filling old barns? Yes, it is. We've shipped a lot of gates into that area in old barns.
Okay. There you are, Representative Davis. I believe it's from Carver County.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Keekley. Mike Keekley.
Mr. Chair and committee, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to comment today. My name is Mike Keekley, and I'm a dairy farmer from Watkins. Watkins is in Meeker County, but my farm is in Stearns County, so we have more of those issues. I'm the chair of the Minnesota Farm Bureau Dairy Advisory Committee. Minnesota Farm Bureau policy supports the Dairy Investment Tax Credit as one way to strengthen the state's dairy industry. It provides an opportunity for all dairy farmers to invest in their businesses. We need to strengthen our state's dairy industry in order to keep our milk plants open and our rural economy vibrant. Livestock agriculture is critical to our state. We need livestock to utilize the byproducts from our growing renewable fuel industry. Minnesota Farm Bureau supports the efforts and recommendations of the Governor's Livestock Task Force, including the Dairy Investment Tax Credit. I'd like to add a personal note. Presently, we are undergoing an expansion and an upgrade at our family dairy farm. My son would like to come back to the farm someday, and I guess we would use these credits. Thank you very much.
Just one question that I have. When you talked, when you just mentioned your personal situation there, what type of, specifically, do you have in mind, do you have
We've come from the facility? The old tie stall barn, and we've retrofitted our dairy barn, our old dairy barn, to a milking parlor, and we built a new freestall barn. And it's pretty well put together, but we'll need a bigger tank for the milk as we go along. So we're still looking at this.
And you mind sharing this with us, what the type of capital investments cost you've already made to upgrade your farm?
Sure, I'll share with you. Our manure system was in place, so we didn't spend any money on manure systems. We just had a manure system that was above capacity, so the permitting process and so forth was very simple for us. But just the new dairy, new freestall barn and the milking parlor upgrades, we were looking at about $275,000 to $300,000 without the cattle. And I think we're very typical, very average, nothing outstanding.
Any other questions by members? If not, again, appreciate your taking time to be with us today. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Collette.
Welcome, Mr. Collette.
Thank you. I'm Ron Collette. I'm with Dairy Farmers of America. I'm representing the Minnesota Association of Co-ops today. My activities, I'm the region manager for Dairy Farmers of America. I oversee the member relations and activities for our members from Minnesota, the two Dakotas, and the northern half of Wisconsin. I'd like to comment a little bit today from a processing infrastructure aspect of what this dairy investment tax bill would do. As we have been going through testimony, one of the questions was, is there other parts of the country that are actually doing investment tax credits similar to what you're seeing in Wisconsin and being proposed for Minnesota? And no, we're not. And that's because of the fact that the upper Midwest is probably one of the last areas in the United States to go into dairy modernization. We have typically been the small family farm. Technology has been not utilized. And so, therefore, we need the incentives here to basically help us spur the dairy farmers from exiting the business and realize that, you know, with technology and with different facilities, there is a future for the generations. The comment has been made about the number of cows lost, which means the amount of milk that's been lost. And if you look at it from an infrastructure, in the last 10 years, almost 50% of the major processing plants that we've had in the state of Minnesota have closed. And it's not been exclusively just the dairy farmers, but all the organizations that market milk in the state of Minnesota. And if you look at that, which I have personally been involved in closing some facilities, it impacts well over 1,000 people, and it's really a hardship on a lot of the smaller communities that we do look at, considering the fact that a lot of times this processing facility was the only major industry in that small town. And so if you look at an industry that's been there for, say, 30, 40 years, and suddenly you close the doors, it does shape and impact the lives of several people, and that does go out in the community. So therefore, not only do we see an impact on the farmers themselves, but the communities that surround them, we see an economic impact. And as we look at the fact that if cows continue to drop here in the next decade or so in Minnesota, we have a chance of losing more of our infrastructure. And how does that impact the farmer? It's going to be more on transportation charges. And when you look at what amount of money you have available to pay farmers for milk, transportation is a huge part of that. So if we have to start hauling their milk to farther locations, it basically impacts the bottom line of the farmer. So if you look at this dairy investment credit, it gives the opportunity to farmers to reinvest, but it also goes in and multiplies that impact as you look at the economy and what's going on, especially in the rural communities. We do believe that even after it's structured like Wisconsin, and I will also comment that for 2005, we've actually seen an increase in cows in Wisconsin, and we've seen an increase of production of probably about 3.5 to 4%. Now, the state of Minnesota for 2005 did have an increase in production, but we still lost about another 15,000 cows. And the reason for the increase in production is that we're starting to see some of the technology spilling over from other parts of the country, and we're getting more milk per cow, which is going to help make us more competitive with the rest of the nation. But on the other hand, if we don't continue to have some incentives, that's probably going to stop. There's a lot of things that we can do to improve our average on a milk per cow, but again, it has to do with facilities, it has to do with the milking parlors instead of the stanchion barns, and those are things that, you know, we've been slow to adapt up here. What's always puzzled people is that they could sell cows out of Minnesota, take them to, say, the western states, and they could get more milk out of that cow than they could out of Minnesota. And that's basically technology. And that technology does cost money no matter how you look at it. And so we feel that dairy investment credit would help us get our farmers more educated and updated on their facilities to do that. So on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Co-ops, we certainly are backing to try to get this bill in place for the future of the dairy farmers. So thank you. With that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Collette. Any questions from members? If not, thank you very much for being here. I want to recognize over here Senator Dill. Thank you, Senator Dill, for joining us. Would you want to make any comments today? you have some involvement in the agricultural industry yourself. So,
well, Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for coming to Eden Valley to hear this bill. It's in that Representative Erdahl is chief authoring, and I'm a co-author in the Senate. I am enthusiastically supporting it because I'm very concerned about the dairy industry and the downhill slide on it that's been going on for decades now, and it's time we stepped up to the plate and did everything we can to try to support this very important industry. And this is just one step among many steps that we can take to help reinvigorate the industry. So I offer my enthusiastic support, and Mr. Chairman, I hope that you'll see fit to include it in your omnibus tax bill this year.
Well, we did include it last year, but something happened at the end there. I don't know what, but we're going to do it. We're going to do our best to make sure it actually gets put into law this year, not just legislation, not just talk, but actual put it on the books, as they say. So, thank you for being here, Senator. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Senator Dill. Mr. Chairman, unless I have missed someone, my final testifiers, and fitting, I think that Senator Dill speaks just before the Land Stewardship Project, Loretta Giles and Bobby King. Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Bobby King. I work for the Land Stewardship Project. We're a membership organization comprised of farmers, rural people, and others concerned about farming. A large part of our work over the years has been promoting livestock on family farms, and we strongly support this bill and appreciate Representative Erdahl's leadership in doing it. We think it sends a positive message and a needed message to the countryside that Minnesota believes in dairy farming in Minnesota and is ready to support it. We are also interested in the list of qualified expenditures, and we'd be interested in seeing a conversation and inclusion of on-farm processing and pasture development in that list. A member of our state policy committee actually had a chance to talk to the governor coincidentally this morning, and the governor indicated he'd be supportive of inclusion of on-farm processing and willing to talk about pasture development. But with that, a member of ours is here who is a dairy farmer, and I'm going to turn it over to her.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members, and Representative Erdahl. Thank you for the chance to speak. Again, I would just like to Loretta Jouse, a dairy farmer from Gibbon, Minnesota, and also a Land Stewardship Project member. If I may just read a brief statement regarding Land Stewardship's position on the bill. We strongly support efforts to enhance opportunities for Minnesota's livestock farmers. House File 719, as drafted last session, does this, and we wholeheartedly support it. And thank you, Representative, for your leadership on this. Land Stewardship Project was a member of the Citizens Task Force on Livestock Farmers in Rural Communities, and the task force was made up of Minnesota's Farmers Union, National Farmers Organization, and the Sustainable Farming Organization, as well as Land Stewardship Project. The report was titled Creating a Bright Future for Livestock Farmers in Minnesota, and Section 2 of that report, Creating the Next Generation of Livestock Farmers. If I will read from that, the Citizen Task Force recommends the legislature create a Minnesota Dairy Investment Tax Credit. This program would provide a state tax credit to dairy farmers to make improvements in their operation. The credit would be 10% of up to $500,000 included in eligible expenditures are upgrading milking parlors, pasture development, fencing, watering facilities, and on-farm processing. We're grateful for this effort. We'd like to see the tax credit open to all types of producers and all types of production, and that the pasture development on-farm processing be included in that. And that's probably where I would like to interject some personal comments. Our farm in Sibley County is 410 acres, and about 105 of those are all in pasture land. The organization that the company that Tom Peterson referred to before is Organic Valley, a private farmer-owned co-op in Lafarge, Wisconsin. And we have been a member of Organic Valley since 1997. It's as also Mr. Tom Peterson said, 1 to 2% maybe of organic of food production is organic. But what is significant is that it's the fastest growing segment within that industry. They've enjoyed double-digit growth in the last few years, and specifically for us with Organic Valley, each of those years since 97, Organic Valley has grown between 20 and 22%. And they have been totally stunned by that, expecting that to level off and slow down, and it hasn't. And there are no indications of that happening. I have here a newspaper, and this is a common headline that you'll see: organic explosion suppliers struggling to meet demand. We aren't able to supply the consumer's demand for organic milk. We need more farmers. One critical element of organic production is that pasture. As the National Organic Standards were implemented in 2002, it is a requirement that your animals be on pasture. And there's some expense involved with that. It's $50 an acre for feeding. Our fencing is maybe a little overdone, but $300 an acre for that, perhaps. So anything that you can do in promoting this tax bill to help that segment will certainly help small family farmers and the overall economy of Minnesota, as we've heard. So thank you for your attention. And
okay. Questions? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Mr. King, if I could, I was on the brought up earlier, you know, is the list on page one of the delete all inclusive, and you mentioned the on-farm processing, but what I'd like to ask a couple questions on is, you mentioned, I believe, grazing, or did you, what did you say there, pasture development, is it, we're talking grazing or rotational grazing?
Pasture development was the original House file. 719, yeah, that's what I called it.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. King, how would that work? I mean, as far as what would the tax credit be? I mean, what would the expenses? We've got fences in here on number two. Aren't you basically looking at fencing? Or?
Can I let Loretta answer that?
Sure.
Because she's done some work on calculating what that might be on, based on her farm.
Well,
different
fences that we established 2 years ago, the cost of the fencing and the fencing file type fencing.
Well, Mr. Chairman and ma'am, item two covers fences. Am I missing something? Is there something else in there, Mr. King? Or thank you for that.
I think the other thing might be missing is the part of the scene. So for a grazing operation, building up the pasture and building up the infrastructure in the scene, if you do one thing, and it's pretty expensive, I think the government is successful in about 15 years. So we've got about 100 acres.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman and Mr. King, I think that's probably a pretty good idea. I toured a couple of weeks ago the Vance and Bonnie Haugen farm out of Canton, and that was really an eye-opener for me, where I live in the bluff lands of the Mississippi River down there. We have a lot of very hilly land down there, and to see that entire farm go into grass for grazing seemed like a pretty reasonable thing to me. You're going to keep the topsoil there, you're not going to have the erosion problems, and I think that might be something we could work on there. But Mr. Chairman and members, I would say I learned a long time ago, anytime you get the Farm Bureau, the Farmers Union, the bankers, the suppliers, the co-ops, the milk processors, and land stewardship all singing off the same page, Representative Erdahl, I think we would achieve peace in the valley, even if it is Eden Valley. So we do have peace in the valley, and I hope members will make sure that this becomes law. And Mr. Erdahl, I would say, you know, we've talked a lot about this bill today, and I think what it really does is it gives a segment of our agricultural industry something that's a very powerful four-letter word. That's hope. It gives dairy farmers hope, the hope that they can keep sons and daughters on the farm, that they can fill those barns, and we know how it ripples through the economy. You fill the barns, you fill the farmsteads, you fill the schools, and life is good, and we have peace in the valley. So thank you, Mr. Representative Erdahl.
After those glowing words, Representative Erdahl, maybe he wrote it for you.
Yeah.
We have Commissioner Sivaraja from Anoka coming here. Again, this is a public hearing, and we would invite anyone else who wants to give comment to this legislation, either pro or con, to come forward if you'd so like. Sir, come on up. We'd love to hear from anybody who wants to have their voice be heard in this process. Again, if you just give us your name, and if you do represent any organizations, let us know that. Thank you. Question, what again the size or the amount of the capital investment that you made in your facility?
I can
Becker, thank you very much for taking time out of obviously a busy work day to come over and give us some testimony. Is there anyone else? Welcome. Question, can you give us some further detail as to what the advantages would be in North Dakota? South Dakota, I'm sorry. I think Representative Blaine can probably identify with that situation. It's hard to find people who want to continue to be in the dairy industry, dairy farmers. Representative Erdahl, you want to is there anyone else who would like to testify? Come up.
Yes, I'm Attorney County Commissioner Ben Schaefer, and I would just like to thank you for coming out to the room.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, for being here. Appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else who certainly come up? On the other side.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Bovis, a dairy farmer in Stearns County. I'm also part of the dairy advisory board for Stearns County. I think this is a wonderful first step in keeping farmers on the land. And if you'll bear with me a little bit, I think we need to keep farmers on the land for all our states. We're losing 1 million acres of farmland each year in America. That's a lot of counties of land each year in the state of Minnesota. And so if we keep on doing that with the loss of ag land and the third world country coming out of third world economies or western world economies, if you take China and India coming out of those economies, I feel that in future years, our kids and kids will have a food issue problem like we're having an energy issue problem today. There will be enough food in the United States for it to be much, much higher with the people coming on board and having the money to buy it. And the lack of ag land in Minnesota and the United States. This is from the 1999 economics per capita peak that each state produces. There's 9 states that comprise 48% of the total capital peak. I just want to point out that Minnesota is number 7, so ag is very important to Minnesota as a whole. And I believe the ag is the largest business in the state of Minnesota that we should foster and take care of that ag business. We're trying to create new jobs and new businesses in rural Minnesota, jobs being picked and trying to bring new jobs out to rural Minnesota. But this already is in place. So the largest ag business or the largest business is in place today. So I would like to see us keep it there, and not only just because of farmers on the land or that I make a living off of that, but also each one of us here today farm 3 times a day, if you know it or not, because we go to Catchwise or Rainbow Foods and buy that gallon of milk, and then that gallon of milk comes from the processor, and the processor gets it from the farmer, and the farmer gets it from the cow, and the cow gets it from the corn, and the corn gets it from the ground. So this is a new dollar that's generated, and for all you understand about what a new dollar does. And as far as what it's like out there for new farmers to start in this business, I've got 2 sons that are interested in farming. We've got one farm that one son could take over, but to buy a 200-acre farm will cost about $3,000 an acre. That's $600,000. One cow can carry about $3,000 worth of debt. So if you got 60 cows or even 100 cows, that's only $300,000 that cow will carry. And that's only buying the land. There's no cows involved. There's no cost of cows involved, no machinery, no nothing. So this is one step to help these dairy farmers get into business, or the new dairy farmers getting into business or staying in business and being a viable business in this state of Minnesota. I have all kinds of other things in my mind, but not that we pertain to this, but hopefully this will help you in your decision and what you need to do. And then also, as far as President Bush talked about renewable energy, we can make ethanol from corn. The corn comes to the land. We can make grow switchgrass and make ethanol or burn it as a coal substitute, so that comes from the land. I understand the article here, open farmers know that they can get 5,000 gallons of crude oil from hogs, but that comes from the land. There's many things that come from the land, so this will just help keep farmers on the land. And there again, I'd like to point out that this is for every Minnesota team out there. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to.
Thank you, Mr. Davis, for being here. Appreciate you taking time to come over and be at the hearing. Give us your insights. Any questions? Representative Yarnos.
If there's nobody else to speak, I don't want to monopolize, but thank you. I'm glad I came. Thank you, Chairman Pinky and Representative Earl and everybody. I had a meeting in Duluth, but I'm glad I came here instead. I grew up on the farm on the hills of northern Bosnia, and I had milk cows with my hands. That wasn't man's job. My dad would never even seen do it, but women did that. But when my mother and my sisters would go to another village to a church service and then sing and dance and have fun, I would be doing the milking, and I didn't do a very good job because I was only, I was pretty young then. But it was a tough job. And for some reason we were doing it with milk. My poor mother and sisters milked the cows 3 times a day. I don't know why. I suppose they weren't really thought I would get more milk. We have, I'm going to echo what you were saying. It's really important. I hope we don't do the same thing to farming that we did to manufacturing in this country, in this state, in this country. Population increased, doubled last century from 3 million billion to 6 billion. This century is going to double in 50 years. So I think that whoever has food, whichever country has good farming and food, is going to be more powerful than the country that has nuclear weapons, because there will be such a demand. The food will be it, and it already is. Look how many people are hungry in so many parts of the world. Anyway, so I hope that we can preserve this largest important industry in Minnesota and all over the country. And I would like to be on the Agriculture Committee. I requested every 2 years, but I've only been fortunate to be on it once. So, Chairman David's, next year, maybe you can help me. Thank you, everybody. Okay.
Thank you very much. Again, anyone else who wants to come forward, certainly take the opportunity here to listen to more about dairy farming and agriculture.
My name is Dan Keeley. I'm the mayor of Eden Valley. And I was born and raised on a dairy farm. I've been off that for quite a few years. And I live in the city myself right now. I own a business, machining and welding, a business in town here. And I'm glad that Mr. Chairman and the committee came out to Eden Valley to listen to the testimony of this area. Plus, rural Minnesota, listen to the things that are going on in the dairy industry. It's very important for the dairy industry to stay alive and to make some money, to help the small communities grow, help them sustain what they have today. So it's very important to can help them out any way you can on caps and incentives and stuff like that. Something that Mr. Jams mentioned earlier, that the state and cities spend a lot of money each year trying to entice businesses to come into our area, to relocate into the areas in the state. And we have a thriving business right now with the dairy industry, and we need to do whatever we can to make that grow better, grow more yet, and make it live in Minnesota. I appreciate you coming out to this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, for hosting us. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. Anyone else who has wants to offer a comment or give us any insights, we'd Representative Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say to Representative Erdahl, I really appreciate your work you've done on this bill and bringing that forward. I think that's very important. I milk cows myself for 25 years along with my brothers and father, and since then now, especially since I got this job in the legislature, which is a part-time job, I've taken other part-time jobs to make ends meet also, and one of them is driving a milk truck. and I get on dairy farms, well, in quite a few different counties, actually. Lincoln County, Yellow Medicine, Lacaparo, Chippewa, Swift, Candy, Ojai. It's surprising how many younger dairy farmers there still are left, and I think this bill is very important to keep those younger dairy farmers in business and give them the ability to modernize when necessary. Very important. Also, I would like to comment on the list. I think Representative Knobloch made a good point to make sure the list is correct. I see there, like, for example, the top one says freestall barns. If a farmer is expanding his tie stall barn, just to make sure that that is covered under this, and I'm not sure about how all the legalese and all that works, but that is a good point that needs to be looked at before this actually goes into law. And also on that list, it was brought up earlier by some of the testifiers that pasture development and on-farm processing was dropped off. I think you know the arguments about adding those back on. We've talked about that before in the past. And as this goes through the process, I would appreciate if you would work to add those back to the list again. It gives farmers different methods of producing milk, you know, different management practices, and I don't think we want to leave any farmers out. And also with the on-farm processing, it's actually another means of marketing their milk, which is important. But again, thank you for the good bill.
Anyone else in the audience? Anyone else? Any committee members have any additional comments? If not, thank you, Representative Erdahl, for your legislation. I want to thank everybody for taking time out of your schedules and your other activities, such as farming, to be here. We appreciate very much your attendance. With that, committee meeting is adjourned.